As I drove up in front of Jack's and Betty's house, it just elevated me. I had never been in a realm like that. It just elevated me upward to where it's going to take a while to get back down to my original level. But anyway, it was a pleasure all the way through. Everything I'd ever dreamed of, he'd just pull it out of the hat, not a hat. He'd just point to it. Well, getting at the thing at hand, to stand behind this sacred desk and to try to share with others the things that we have gleaned from the pages of the engrafted word is a solemn occasion. If I were going to pick a topic for today, I rearranged my whole oration. I'd hear someone say something, I think, boy, that's good. And here comes something else, and boy, that's good. And I've abandoned just about everything I spent 3 days working on here. But I hoped it was for an improvement, Okay, but my objective this day would be to try to maybe quote something that I've retained that might help us along the pathway. In my case, I'm preaching to myself too, that I would like to be eligible to share a place close to my master. I don't even like the sound of outer darkness. I don't like the sound of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and outer darkness. Does everyone know that there is no night in heaven? That's going to be hard to get used to. It is. What happens when you don't see any sunrise? Well, I've got this, my brother would be called, I have this brother, one blood brother in this world. His name is Lauren. There are many here, no doubt, that have heard him. He would be, if you were to get him into Scripture on page 700 and plus, he would be called the brother of Gerald. Right. That's right. Because I really think that the brother of Gerald is more spiritually minded. I think he's entitled to a more desirable ward. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven, if I'm eligible to make it. I would settle for just being a doorkeeper and let people in. Therefore, I would be close to the Lord, letting other people through the door. I knew a man one time, very humble. He would break down and he would weep and so forth. But I would be satisfied with that. I had several scriptures. Let's start. Oh, has everybody lost this? When Alvin got to this 2 Peter, when he got to that, I thought, there goes the first 98% of my sermon right there. So, I gotta find this. But he skipped over mine, and I was so thankful. So, in this second Peter, anything in Peter or James is good. It follows Hebrews is where it's at. 2 Peter. Oh, I had a bookmark. Okay. All right. Alvin was in 2 Peter. Has everybody got this? Probably before I've got it. Oh, incidentally, most everything that I would reiterate, I have gleaned from my father. His name was D. Ray, and he was on a kind of a level with they were sort of parallel lives. Don McAdoo, the Apostle Don McAdoo, was a school teacher, and my dad was a school teacher for 30 years. He had all the words. He had going off on a tangent, reprobate, colossal, and all those words I didn't learn, much less the definitions of them. And he had them, he used them quite freely and quite accurately. And Don McAdoo can do the self same thing. They're both 30-year school teachers, or my dad. I applied myself mostly, and for true confession, they say, is good for the soul, finding the Coke machine and so forth. But anyway, I was pretty good at it. But anyway, we're in a thing at hand. No levity, as Brother Anderson used to say, those of you that knew him. We're in the Second Peter. We want this verse right down here, number 9. Oh, that was going to be my topic. If I were going to pick a topic, and I would much rather deliver what you might call a shotgun sermon, just take a little shot at most everything. But if I weren't going to do that, I would probably base the title of my sermon on obedience, would just about be it. And it's hard to talk to anyone over 5 years old about obedience. It's hard for me to listen to obedience. But here's some right here. Number 9, look at that verse 9 there. Chapter 3. Right where Alvin was at there. He was right on his same page. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. And here's the key phrase. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 98% of the people can put that last word on there. Repentance. What is repentance? Mostly in our case, being in the restored church of the Master of Men, it's willing to make a change for whatever is specified in the commandments of God. And here's two books that are clear full of them. Okay. Lay this one aside. I think probably... Oh, a little more history. My dad, D. Ray, was an outcast, spiritual outcast, of a family of 13 children. 13. They were what is known, it's just history. I have no quarrel to pick with anyone. We're all wanting to go in the presence of our Master when we lay this down. Life. But he made what they considered a mistake. He got right down here at Collins. There lived this Lela Daniel, Martin, Lela Martin Daniel, that I mentioned. And he married this little RLDS girl named Ruby. And that made him an outcast. Just the fact that she was born and raised a little RLDS girl. So my mother, we had this old Model T. You've seen them. They had no glass in them except the windshield. The rest of it was all cloth. The wind whistled in at all corners. Well, Hamilton had a church up there. My brother, the brother of Gerald, Lauren and I. We'd ride along in the back seat of this little car, and it'd go along, and they'd jerk this old hand throttle down, and they'd jerk this spark down on the other side, and so my mother got him to go to church because she knew what was up at that church. It was the same church. There was a John T. Ford and a J.A. Swain. John, both of them named John. Came back on the way home 30 miles. Got back about halfway home while she looked. She was a little round-faced one, about like this one back here on the back seat. Don't want to point anybody out. I just happened to see her. But she was dark-headed and a pretty woman, weighed about 115. And hadn't any bearing on it, but she was. She looked up at him and she said, what did you think of the sermon? Of course, he'd driven home just staring at the road, what little road there was. He said, didn't look around. He said, it'd have been all right if he hadn't have mentioned that old Nephi. Rattlesnake Nephi. That's right. So, but she wasn't to give up. Now, in my case, and the brother of Gerald, we were raised in this thing, Lauren. But my mother had one of these. And it was one of those dollar editions. It wasn't bound in leather like that. Didn't have the gold in the thumb index. But it was a record of Nephi, just like this one, Book of Mormon. They had a round table in the front room. Goodman had eagle claw feet. My little sister got it now. They spend a lot of money getting it redolled up. So she laid that in the middle of that table. Dad, he walked around that thing for 2 weeks. Oh, I've got a mic. Sorry about that, Jack. Not used to them. They're a kind of a rattlesnake to me. But she walked round and around this table. He did for 2 weeks, eyeing that thing. Finally, but he was a school teacher and he was very intelligent. He just hadn't learned the truth. All right. So, finally he made up his mind, I'm not going to tear this one. Where's my bookmark? That did belong to Glenn. Now I haven't got any sermon. But, no levity. No levity. So, anyway, he walked around his thing. I'm going to tear this thing up. Not manually. He says, I'm going to prove that it is false. And he was smart enough to do it if there was any way. So he sat down and he began to read that thing with this in mind. False. False. He got over there about 75 pages. I'm not an emotional person, but sometimes I do get emotional on something like this. I have laid. We're supposed to sleep under this bridge. And we had dead soldiers. They would lay down four, and then they would cross and put four more, and they would get up just high enough you could throw them up on top of each other. And we were guarding the bridge over this railroad track. And I didn't even shed a tear. But get in a situation like this, sometime when I tell something like this, this is over in Germany on the Siegfried Line. You've heard about the pillboxes and the dragon's teeth and all that. Okay, I was there. I know what it's like. No hurry to go back. So he got over here about 75 pages. And he went into the kitchen. And, sorry. He confronted my mother, Ruby J. Make a long story short, he converted himself. And there are many here that know the rest. And whether I can see this book or not, let's go to something. And then he couldn't do enough. Oh, one more little bit of history before I go into this. His mother, she was an honest person, just hadn't learned the truth, these 13 children. His mother, he would go over to his family and he would get himself in deeper and deeper in trouble, spiritual wise, and they would give him the fiery darts that Randy portrayed pretty successfully and forcibly and did a number one job. We need more people like that. He's good for a lot of years yet. I'm not. I'm over the hump. I'm a 1925 model. And true. Okay, so she said, his name was Buddy. That was his nickname. She said, Buddy, there was a creek south. She said, Buddy, when you go home in your car, when you go home, do me a favor and throw that old Book of Mormon in the creek. Well, naturally, he didn't do it. It just made him stronger. It just made him stronger. The only question, now, if you don't get anything out of this little time that I'm taking up when I should be listening to Bob Eddy, my buddy, well, if you don't get anything else, you want to remember this one question that my father's mother of 13 children, Lemuel Bruce, John Lewis, Daniel Ray, and then right on down the line, 13 of them. And the only question she would ask him is found right over here on page about 440, 442. Don't even need to turn to it. It's the state of the soul after death. Because they didn't know in that old primitive Baptist, what they call a hard shell Baptist church, they had learned nothing. They believed in predestination. Some are saved to be lost. Some are born to be saved. Some are born to be lost. So one time, there's this school teacher again. One time my dad asked the brother down at New Garden, he said, well, what's going to happen? That's the part he couldn't quite digest, believe. He said, what is going to happen to these that are going to be lost? Some are born to be. You got nothing to do on your about your salvation. You can't do anything with it. It's all pre-laid out, pre-planned, cut and dried, if you want to use slang. All right. So he says, what's going to happen to these that are born to be lost? Leon Clevenger was about 82 or 3, been preaching a long time, high up in the church, and he says, their punishment is going to be great, but there's not a thing we can do about it. Boy, there was Dad, and he didn't quite like the sound of that. Well, so much for that. Let's go to one of these that somebody else had. Incidentally, I've been called on the carpet, and boy, this is a dandy carpet in this church. But I've been called on the carpet, but I've had a desire for a long time, and they quote me on this. I'm looking forward to the time when I get me the two books, the record of Israel and the record of the Nephites. It's over on the other continent, Jerusalem and the like. I want one with self-turning pages. I've mentioned this is where I can just think. 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, and there it'll go. I want to be the first in line. They can get me that for my birthday. Really, I wanted that a long time. Incidentally, we had a Sunday school class for years. They drafted me into that thing, and after they did, you know what I did? I made a round table out of it. I'd look at whoever was talking, like this good man right here, and I heard him speak. He likes the book of James, so do I. Main reason I like it, it's only got 5 chapters. And they put more in that 5. Honest confession is good for the you-know-what. And you can read that in just a little while, and they've got so much. It's right by Peter here, just preceding, I think. And I like that. Well, we are turning to, let's just go to James. I had one in James. I forgot. Okay. If you got a Bible like mine, you can go to page 285. Look, I got it. Okay. On 285. You can listen to a fellow whose initials are WW. And there's a TV station that goes with a number of 50. And he will tell you that all you have to do is believe. It's not in the restored church of Jesus Christ. Only believe. Another thing you ought to remember beside my grandmother, if you don't remember anything else about this little talk I'm giving, remember this scripture right here. Folks, believing is not enough. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anybody young here and there isn't, yeah, there's a sweet little girl back there. All right. Believing is not adequate. It is inadequate. It is a half-truth. Watch this. Second chapter of James. There's only five of them. You ought to read all five. Look what it says down here. Let's go. The key verse is right here. I ought to get the one above it. Verse 17, take a look at that. Even so, faith, if it hath not worked, is dead. Being alone, you have to prove that faith. That's what it's saying. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Alan can quote the rest of this and never even look at the book, I'm sure. Even had worked somewhere. Okay, yeah. Okay. Yea, a man may say, verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. What's he doing? He's proving it. It's easy to say, I have faith. It's a lot easier to be obedient. A lot harder. Now, a key verse. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now, what does that mean? They believe and they know that God is, but it does not change their status whatsoever, folks. It does not change their status. They've got to do something. This obedience I'm working on today. They still remain in that state. So believing is insufficient. It's short. That's what happened to me. Are we still going?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, let's see. What else did I have? There was one over here somewhere. Should I go on this? I had a little help on this, and then I looked and I had it. Let's go to page 10. What is page 10 going to have? That's right where Randy was. I thought he was going to... Right here. Here's what we want. I promised I would do this one. Anybody ever heard of the straight gate that leads to life and the broad gate that leads to destruction? I think most of these folks are past that point. I think they've all got that memorized. Touch on it very briefly, and then we'll work our way down to this little more obedience. How long would it take to go through that? I've got to get to this record of the Nephites in just a little bit. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. We don't want that. And many there be which go in thereat. It doesn't You just glide in. See that? Just drift in. Because straight is the gate. Narrow is what verse 14. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You have to search for it. Matthew 7, verse 14. And then you work on down that, and you get right back to what my good partner back here said, and I enjoyed it very much. I heard him preach one sermon, and he did the same. He preached the same thing that my father told his brothers when they were discrediting him because of what this little RLDS girl had taught him, this little wife. So when they, I forgot what form of discredit they pulled on him, but it was something no telling. So what did he tell them? Same thing that my partner Joe, if you just pardon me mentioning his name, I love him. He said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And I sat and listened to Joe, the first sermon I ever heard him speak, and he preached a whole sermon. And, you know, it says in the Bible, you can find scripture, judge not lest you be judged. But Joe said, we can be fruit inspectors. So he worked that whole sermon just about with Randy's enthusiasm on fruit inspectors. And Joe, it was a wonderful sermon. He's probably forgotten it, but I haven't. And he was among fellow workmen, and they were working on him. So he told them, we can be, probably somebody said, don't you be a judge of me, we'll hang you. But we can be fruit inspectors. Let's go to, another one here. This is a good one. They're all good, but this is one of the gooder goods. Okay. Let's go to page 748 for one line. Now, as soon as I find it, they're not self-turning. Okay, 748 is way back in the Old Testament. I've just come by the dip seven times in Georgia, in Jordan. 748 is going to be something like, you'd be surprised how much writing that saves the time you get the verse and the book and all that. And if you've all got Bible like this, or you find that 748, nothing flat. It's right away from Proverbs. Here it is. Back to my mother, this little RLDS. I owe my, who mentioned values? Well, I owe my values to my parents. I was raised in this restored gospel. I didn't marry the wrong girl and then have to learn it through all kinds of hassle. All right. My mother would go down to the little church down the way. Some of you have seen it. Just below ours. It's closed up now. So they made her Sunday school teacher. But they had deacons. I don't know whether we've got any deacons or not. We have deacons. Well, they had them. And they handled money. And so they were afraid. They knew she believed this record of the Nephites, and they didn't want any part of that. And they told her, and they indoctrinated her that they did not want any. They did not want any doctrine. We don't want any doctrine. No offense. It was a Methodist church, and we do not want any doctrine. So she presented this scripture to them. And right here it is. This is a good one to remember if you don't remember anything else about this little talk which is going to. And right here it's Proverbs. Proverbs. The 18th chapter. And what do you suppose we're going to find? I'll just say it without reading it, but we'll read it. She worded it a little different. She said, "He who judges the matter before he heareth it is folly and shame unto him," and they didn't really go for that. That'll include this, because they didn't want to hear it. Here it is, verse 13. "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it," before he heareth, tongue twister, "before he hears it, before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him." How could that little woman have found that? I didn't know it was here. That's what you get with these values. Oh, we had all our boys were girls. And no levity. That's right. And so, true. The middle one. They wanted me to preach this funeral. Why me? They got this "Why Me, Lord," this song. You know, Alan's a singer. And there's his partner, singer. Well, they wanted me to preach this funeral. So this number two daughter of mine, her name's Karen, she got in a testimony meeting, sacrament, emblems. She got in this testimony meeting and she said, "I owe the values to my parents for the things that I'm passing on and will pass on to my children in the way I've got them in church and everything. Put me up on this pedestal I've been trying to get off of." That's right. Made me feel very happy. So she proceeded to write me out this funeral sermon. Truly. Well, I looked it over and decided, it's like a masterpiece to me. So I used most of it. Okay, let's go to... And so these things do happen. They do happen. I was proud of her. Okay. Oh, we've got to go to this 858. Whatever we do. We want to remember that, and if we don't remember anything else about the sermon. 858. Somebody was in this a while ago. Who was in Jeremiah? I held it for a long time. Ronnie, wasn't he in Jeremiah? And he said, "Hold this thing for a long time." I mean, he said, "Hold it." Okay. Well, I held it. And I was he just about this 17th chapter of Jeremiah? Would you have that down? Well, here, if you look at this old Bible, it won't hold together. But look up there in that corner. See that word, A-R-M? Yeah. That's important. To me, it was. So let's just go down there and get that right quick. Chapter, verse 5 of chapter 17. Good one to remember. Good one to place your heart in. Truly, it's beneficial. Back to obedience. "Thus saith the Lord." Who says it? "Thus saith the Master of men." Good one to jot down. I did. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man." That's not God. "And maketh flesh his arm." Depends totally upon... Be just like Jack, depending upon me. You don't do that. Okay. "Whose heart departeth from the Lord. Cursed is a man that maketh flesh his arm." That's a dandy. Shall we take about one or two more? We could go to 2:7. We're getting into this. Everyone knows, most everyone here, I won't ask for a show of hands. If it's Sunday school class, I would. I'd say, let's see the hands of all the people. Don't raise them. We don't want to embarrass me. All the people do know that the earth is going to be... Oh, you remember back in the old... No, you couldn't. But I had a... Well, there might be one or two. But back in the good old days... Right there is a daughter of Leon Yates, who rode my horse. And this little horse was 56 inches tall. and she can tell you what is due to her values of her father. She knows what a scroll is. All right, but there may be a lot of people that don't. They took a stick. Oh, I could turn to it. Two sticks. I've got it spelled wrong for sake of condensing. I've got it STIX. But anyway, they were written usually on sheepskin, and they rolled, and they read from the wrong way. They read from the back to the front. Oh, turn to it. You know what it is. What it is, you've got it right here. You got both sticks right here. Turn to that. If I can't, you can all call me a liar. Go to 963, self-turning pages. I need them. I'll take them. Birthday. 963. What do we got on 963? There it is. Right there. Two sticks. Okay. Got me? The word of who? Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. He knows it better than I do, right there. Okay. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 15, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick. That's this sheepskin and this stick. That's the whole thing. They rolled them and they rolled them back up together. Take one stick. Here's stick number one, we'll say, right here. Take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick. Are you reading it with me? It's good, not a good thing to remember. If you don't remember, it's another single thing I say. Okay. And write upon it for Joseph. This is Joseph. Stick of Joseph. All right. The stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion, join them one to another in one stick, and they shall become one in mine hand. Restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Good one to remember, right? About it.
You're done.
I'll just make a little parting remark or two to kind of square myself away for the lunch that we don't really think much about. Okay, I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. I hope that I can say something. I like people. I hope that I can say something that will help someone and myself to better our relationship, to the point that I might dwell and we might, and all I can take with me in the presence of my Savior. Amen.